I suppose that is why the cold Asians call Earth a jewel. That's what it looks like, transparent, like an opal, in a way. It is the deepest blue you can imagine. It must be the oceans or the atmosphere. His impressions inside the craft were summed up thus: it was very much the same as before. I was aware of Voldar and his radio technician who seemed to play a part of some sort this time. On my first thought contact with Voldar, he was seated in his seat which was higher than those of his crew. But this time there were two seats, one on either side of him. Tonight there was Voldar and next to him was his radio technician. It seemed as though I was standing and looking over their shoulders all the time. They weren't doing anything in particular, semicolon, they seemed to be seated the whole time looking at Earth. Don't ask me how I know that the other person was his radio technician, I just know he was. If only one could register or record on some kind of instrument what one feels and sees. It is the queerest thing, coming back from the depths of space, you can feel yourself being pulled back. You can feel the acceleration. Chapter 12. Two confederations meet. Short report on the background for this. Danish Trans. Link. The teleportation of Peter and Francis in Zimbabwe in May 1974 had an unexpected sequel at Cubase when we met for our next contact with Voldar, 27 January 1975. The young couple were frightened out of their wits while on an all-night car tourney from Salisbury, now called Harare, via Fort Victoria to the South African border. That night they were in the grip of a strange power which held their car at breakneck speed on an unfamiliar road and through strange surroundings. Peter, who was driving, completely lost control of his vehicle. He could neither stop it nor steer it. At the end of their nightmare journey, when they reached the South African border at dawn, Peter discovered that his fuel tank was still full. No fuel had been used for the 280-kilometer trip. Later, when Peter was hypnotically regressed to the night in question, he relived the whole experience. Apparently Zorotis, a being in an extraterrestrial spacecraft, was responsible for their weird encounter. Did this UFO Nauts hypnotize the couple to make a personal contact with his chosen contactee during this teleported journey? Peter turned out to be a perfect instrument of communication with Zorotis, although later he refused to be associated with him. Voldar said at a previous contact that he did not know Zorotis nor did he have any knowledge of this encounter with a UFO. But Peter and Francis asked if they could be present at one of Voldar's transmissions as there were many things that puzzled them. When Voldar announced his arrival from his spacecraft through Edwin, I introduced our two visitors to him. Ethan briefly outlined the story of Peter and Francis' teleportation experience and asked him if he knew of any space beings who might be responsible for such strange behavior. There are visitors from many extraterrestrial civilizations visiting your planet at the present, replied Voldar. Some are known to us, but there are many we are not aware of. The beings you describe are probably from outside the Confederation and use different methods of making contact with Earth's inhabitants. Some use remote-controlled craft piloted by robots. Some personally make the initial contact and thereafter maintain contact from a distance. Some of them too travel in time as we do, but distances may be different. We see others rarely and it is difficult for me to identify them without more details. All these contacts with space beings have a purpose, Voldar continued. In the future, when the great change takes place on Earth, the true purpose of these contacts will be apparent. You all have different tasks to perform. There are many ways in which you are being contacted, but in time to come you will find that you all fit into the scheme of things. Contactees will then be able to guide those who have not understood the signs of the times. There are many who have not had the time nor the inclination to consider a highly evolved civilization beyond Earth. He paused for a moment, then through Edwin, he asked Peter a question. Peter, if you feel that he who is presently in contact with you does not wish to communicate with me, please say so, my friend. We all have our work to do and we do not interfere with each other. Peter replied. May I introduce you to Zorotis? Voldar replied that he would like to make mental contact with Zorotus through our contactees Edwin and Peter. I am now getting a clear impression in my mind, without doubt, Zorotus is from the Outer Worlds. Voldar then addressed himself to Zorotus via Edwin and Peter. Commander Zorotus, having made contact with you this way, you can understand how I feel. You represent a highly evolved civilization, for indeed I perceive powerful mental forces probing my. I am now projecting a question. He paused for a moment and said, Peter, is there a reply? After a further pause, Peter said, there is wealth of information I receive for you. Then Zorotus himself took control of Peter and said, there is now complete coordination between Peter and myself. It has taken many months to find someone with the ability to relay in a conscious state. We are just starting on this method of communication and it has taken a lot of time and energy to get this far. This is the first time that our two civilizations meet in a house on this planet to converse with each other and in such an unusual way. There is the increased level of mental energy to consider, but I do not think that there is any danger to anyone in this room. It is probably a good thing that we meet in this way. We both come here from different civilizations, yet with different plans for Earth. I must admit that we stab around in the dark a great deal. Unfortunately, we have made mistakes and it is up to us to put these right. Have you any particular question for me, Commander Voldar? I have listened to your words, Commander Zorotus, and it pleases me that you can appreciate how I feel tonight. It is as you say. Most unusual that we have two different civilizations meet in these circumstances. But this must happen as more and more people on this earth are being contacted by those from far away. I felt that I was intruding on the work that you are doing through Peter. But now that we have met, I should like to tell you about some of our activities. I am a commander in the Corinthian Astral Division of a Confederation of Planets. We have our magnetic fields to patrol and no doubt have passed each other at times, for on many occasions we have seen foreign craft on our travels. Commander Zorotus, may I ask your mission? Our mission is much the same as yours, replied Zorotus, where I come from. We control our planet. As you do yours. We do not intrude on your territory as you do not on ours. There has been differences between us in the past, but now we. Our methods of communication are different. There are a few things we could teach you in communications, if you are prepared to be taught. There is much we can learn and we are willing to share what we have in the way of our understanding the cosmic mysteries, Voldar replied through Edwin. Our spacecraft utilize a powerful force that men on this planet could also use. We look upon it as a universal force of divine origin. It is freely available for all mankind to use. It is not for us alone. This is why we come here to try to teach mankind on this planet a better way of life. On Earth, the conventional power sources are dwindling, gradually but surely. When fossil fuels are exhausted, man looks to the energy in the atom. But there is a better way, without pollution and a host of problems. But first of all, the countries of Earth must set aside their differences. The dividing line that runs across this planet must go. Then, when there are no wars, the key to the secret of this universal power will be given to man on Earth and many of their problems will disappear. This change is bound to come. The old way of life must eventually go. We work in a different sphere, Zorotus replied, you work for universal peace. Obviously, this is your aim for this planet. We do not. We are hungry for knowledge. Universal knowledge. We want to know why the person in front of us is there and why we are not there. Peace is not of extreme importance to us. Peace can be made and it can be broken. We are probably causing wars. And you are trying to stop them. So basically we have different objectives. This is probably why your civilization and ours do not see eye to eye. But I think this is a very important occasion. It is the first time that we have met for a very long time. We try to condition the minds of our contactees so that they may grasp what life means to us in the Confederation, said Voldar. You too, Zorotus, condition your contactees to follow your way of life. No doubt you will have discovered that there are many on Earth who reject completely the existence of intelligent life beyond their planet. It is these who have not exposed themselves to conditioning, yet there are many millions of Earth's inhabitants who need this form of contact. In the past, we have used their ordinary radio receiver, but recently we have tried a new experiment. At times we send transmissions directly to the brain from great distance. Thought travels faster, and we have successfully communicated over interstellar distances with our people on Earth. We have found, however, that many people of Earth have erected a mental barrier which we find almost impossible to penetrate. But in some cases we found subjects suitable for communications. We are now using this form of communication almost exclusively, and so are you. The communication between the two extraterrestrial ended with them saying farewell to each other. The two contactees behaved in different ways during the induced trance states. Peter sat bolt upright in his chair, eyes wide open and smoking cigarettes while he relayed Zorata's words, yet later he said he could not remember a word of what he said. Edwin, on the other hand, sat relaxed in his armchair, eyes closed, apparently lost to the world. His remarks after he had returned from his thought transmission were also recorded on the tape and underline the difference from the normal transmissions we have had in the past. "You know, it's strange," said Edwin. "Normally when I'm in thought transmission with Voldar, I can see his face clearly. But not tonight. It was as if I were looking at him from some distance. I could feel the presence of the other power. It was strong. It felt as if two forces were on a collision course. I sensed the silence in Voldar's craft, and Voldar himself seemed like a statue. Every mental fiber of power he could muster was harnessed. It was a fantastic experience. In spite of what Voldar had said, the two civilizations seemed to be poles apart. Other Confederation speakers were more outspoken about these differences. There were expressions such as, "They relentlessly use force to infiltrate the Confederation in order to persuade it to its way of life, and there is an ongoing battle of wills between them and our superiors who are determined that such infiltration shall not take place. And the Confederation, all people dwell in peace and harmony. We have a way of life where peace reigns and crime has been practically eliminated because the cause for it has been removed." There were other statements expressing similar sentiments. An observation of an outer world spacecraft was briefly touched on by Herino on December 12, 1978. He said, "Although their craft are similar in appearance to ours, there are subtle differences. Their craft have a dull surface whereas ours have a metallic shine, most easily seen from close quarters." The observation dome on top is flatter in Confederation craft whereas theirs is higher. Herino said that some of their personnel wear a two-piece uniform of white or gray with a circular emblem on the tunic. The emblem has a black background with a white kidney-shaped teardrop with its point-up soft hyphen boards. In contrast, Confederation personnel wear sky blue tight-fitting uniforms, covering the feet, with long sleeves and a V-neck. Both crews have space helmets, the Confederation helmets being longer, silver-colored, with an emblem resembling the six-pointed Star of David embossed in blue on front. The motif of the six-pointed star also appears on the top of the transparent dome of the Confederation craft. Footnote by publisher: this unique development may seem bizarre and just too much for even seasoned students of the phenomenon. One must remember, however, that Carl van Vlieden was observing this from a front row seat, and he was no novice at investigating these things.